known as succubi or incubi. These demonic creatures would use the suction cups beneath their brain-like bodies to drain their victims' life force while injecting sweet dreams into their minds. It was similar to how mosquitoes also used anesthetics to drain blood. A suction cup attached itself to Sung Chul, but he continued, moving forward without giving it another thought. The incubus began to induce sweet dreams through the suction cups, directly into Sung Chul's mind. Sung Chul, however, did not react to it at all. One by one, other dream demons began attaching themselves to him. The massive swarm of dream demons soon formed something similar to a grotesque helmet sitting on his head. These dream demons continued to inject the most euphoric dreams imaginable into his mind. The average person would never have wished to wake up from such sweet dreams, but Sung Chul suddenly stopped moving. Let's see. Is that all of them? He lightly brushed his hand across his head. Five dream demons were caught by their suction cups. Sung Chul swung them wildly over his head, using their suction cups. Slam! They struck the walls of the cave and disappeared in a bloody mess. Sung Chul brushed across his head again and grabbed some more. The dream demons began emitting threatening noises, but these were meaningless acts of defiance. Sung Chul gave them a full swing and a few more disappeared in a similar mess. The dream demons began detaching themselves from his head, finally feeling a sense of terror. Some of the dream demons doubled down with even more euphoric visions, while others even tried injecting paralyzing nightmares. However, all forms of resistance were meaningless.
Squeak!
Another batch of dream demons was pitifully killed after being mercilessly smashed into the wall. After several more repetitions, almost all of the dream demons had been eradicated. Sung Chul grabbed the last remaining dream demon and brought it to his eyes. His emotionless eyes stared at the glowing eyes of the incubus. Watch carefully, you bastards. I am your worst nightmare. Sung Chul crushed the last dream demon in his hands. The dream demon screamed in agony as it became deformed while leaking brain fluid, before finally exploding. Drip. Drip. A mixture of blood and brain fluid was dripping from his hands. The reason he was able to overcome the dream demons was simple. Unshakable. A blessing that nullified all forms of mental attack. The creatures who had died by his hands did not realize this truth until the very end. A ghostly doll lingered before Sung Chul, who had handily cleaned up all of the dream demons. It emitted an unusual aura. He recognized it as a mana automaton. A mage. The ghostly doll slowly approached Sung Chul and revealed its form. Blonde hair flowing like moonlight, sparkling eyes like fallen stars, long pointy ears. It was a high elf woman.
You have killed all of my demonic servants.
The familiar woman spoke as though in a dream. Sung Chul could surmise her identity from her appearance and her manner of speaking.
Are you Vestiare?
The woman only faintly smiled. Sung Chul then realized that he couldn't feel a presence from this woman.
This isn't Vestiare's physical body. It must just be some vestige of her memory.
He might have called it a vestige, but it still contained a significant amount of magic power, enough to make him feel admiration towards Vestiare.
I don't think we can continue the trial anymore. Only those that can overcome 33 euphoric dreams and 27 painful nightmares would be eligible for obtaining the rewards. And you just destroyed all of the tools.
Didn't I win then? I've overcome all those things that would inject the dreams.
Vestiare's remnant laughed at Sung Chul's words.
You are interesting.
I suppose you have some level of consciousness despite being just a remnant, seeing as you have some ability to form judgment.
Ah, have you already noticed my identity?
Sung Chul feigned ignorance at Vestiare's question by raising his shoulders. In one of his open hands, an oversized hammer appeared. Falgaraz, the divine armament forged by the shards of the sky itself by the dwarven god. The weapon that filled the arrogant devils of the demon world with terror had revealed its form inside this cave.
Would I get a reward for destroying you?
Vestiari's remnant looked shocked at first, but then smiled approvingly at Sung Chul's blunt question.
If you can.
As soon as the words left her lips, Sung Chul instantly tore across the floor towards Vestiari's remnant. The remnant once again looked shocked, but still managed to cast a magical trap and blink away. Blam! Sung Chul's body, snared by the magical trap, was enveloped in blue flames and had his movement dulled. Vestiari's remnant concentrated on continuously blinking away to maintain some distance away from him. A massive blue flame began to roar above her head as it took the shape of a spear. When Sung Chul tried to leap forward once again, several traps all triggered at once. Boom! The blue flame exploded. Sung Chul had tripped the triggers. The effect was the same, but the cause was different. He was intentionally triggering the traps with the tip of his toe as he ran by them. Boom! Dozens of traps began chaotically triggering at the same time. Vestiari's remnant flew into the air with the explosions concealing her target. A large shadow loomed across her face due to the geysers of blue flames and the flaming spear that she had conjured. Wham! One hit, KO. Vestiari's remnant was splayed upon the floor and the flaming spear she had conjured above her head unraveled. Stop exaggerating. I didn't hurt you that badly. Sung Chul stood before her without a scratch. The remnant's lashes trembled slightly.
You are strong. Very strong.
Sung Chul simply glared at the remnant coldly and asked, where are the seven heroes? An update on the seven heroes. This was the sole reason he had kept the remnant alive. Vestiari's remnant briefly closed its eyes and spoke with a soft voice that was filled with respect.
We will appear before you when the time is right, when the prophecy of the end draws closer, even without anyone seeking us out.
I see.
Falgaraz rose into the sky. Its shadow drew onto the remnant's face, but the remnant laughed instead.
You are the same as us.
Am I?
Sung Chul's hammer shook slightly.
I could feel it through the dream demons. You have the same, maybe a lot more disappointment and rage against humanity contained inside of you.
I won't become like you, seven heroes.
Will that be so? If the misplaced promise that sustains you ever goes awry...
Shut up! The hammer abruptly fell. Vestiari's remnant shattered like glass and scattered across the floor. The blood fog weakened, and the blood drained from the surroundings, which eventually returned to its original colors. Sung Chul quietly waited in silence for his well-deserved reward. You have destroyed Vestiare's dream. You have completed the objective, Destroyer of Dreams, Hidden, Epic. Reward, x30, Palace Token. +10 Magic Power, Intuition, Magic Resistance. The Magical Staff, Moonlight, Rare.
Disappointment passed across his eyes. The rewards were pitifully lacking. An objective was rated higher than quests. They were interchangeable with quests, but they were one-offs and unique to each objective. They were also much more difficult compared to quests, but usually the rewards were also comparably great. This time, however, proved to be the exception. Did they compensate for the fact that this was inside the summoning palace? I suppose Vestiari's remnant could only be compared to a mid-grade mage. This staff also would be invaluable to a newbie. The rewards also held a unique value to Sung Chul. He was able to obtain 10 intuition, which was beyond precious to him. Sung Chul quickly opened his status window. Stats: Strength, 999 plus. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic Power, 13. Intuition, 1. Magic Resistance, 621. Resilience, 501. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. Intuition had finally escaped the negative values. This meant that he would be able to accomplish his mage class by simply completing the common quests obtained from the homunculus. He also had more than enough palace tokens needed for the class change. Should I slowly put an end to this act? He had accomplished his goal. He just had to take it easy for the rest of the trials in the palace.
He had started to turn back with these carefree thoughts when more words appeared. The seven heroes acknowledge your existence. The seven heroes has placed you in their sights.
I didn't really need this.
Sung Cho felt annoyed, but words kept appearing. Vestiare of the Seven Heroes is overjoyed by your completion of her objective. Vestiare of the Seven Heroes grants you an additional reward for overcoming the mission. Reward, Tome of the Echo Mage.
Echo Mage?
Sung Cho recognized the class. Echo Mage. This was Vestiare's unique class. Regular mages could only cast magic once with each cast, but an Echo Mage could fire the same spell multiple times with just one cast. This ability had allowed Vestiare to raise the firepower of a simple fireball to that of hellfire flames. This legendary ability was now within his grasp. Sung Cho silently touched the Tome of the Echo Mage, and its information revealed itself. Tome of the Echo Mage. Grade, legendary. Type, class transfer, compact form. Effect, legendary class Echo Mage acquisition. Note, on the final day of the summoning palace, open the tome. Vestiare's vision will reveal itself to you. Restriction, 20 magic power, 20 intuition, 20 magic resist. Required, times 50 palace token.
Shit.
It was still too early for him to take it easy. Chapter 4. Krill Regal.
Shit! Shit!
Krill Regal was being faced with the greatest disaster of his life. He had skirted life and death several times after he was first summoned into Otherworld, but that was nothing compared to his current predicament.
The week is ending soon. All the mages will be made to report on the physical conditions of their charges before the next sunrise.
The muscular Grand Knight from the Order of the Iron Blood Knights made this announcement in a gravelly voice. The Order of the Iron Blood Knights were one of the three greatest factions from the northern region of the main continent. They were known for their immovable strength, as well as holding their own against the mightiest of the demon tribe's main forces. It had just been a year since he had been summoned. Krill couldn't afford to offend such a powerful faction. He had lost contact with the newly summoned pre-selected whom the Iron Blood Knights had put him in charge of. Death was a common occurrence within the summoning palace, and a failure of this magnitude would almost guarantee his execution. Just how had this happened? Krill anxiously began to recall the day he had lost contact with his pre-selected. Hyun Suk Chang had asked for his name. It wasn't an unusual event when the pre-selected asked for their guide's name. Krill didn't think much of it and had replied properly. There hadn't been any risk in doing so. Being pre-selected within the summoning palace meant they would have a faster growth and also have access to valuable secrets of the large factions. Investment of goodwill with an upcoming big shot was well worth it. The problem was that his charge had asked for his name twice. Because the communication via telepathy through the observer's eye was unstable, he could not be certain, but he suspected that something big must have happened between the first and second time his name was asked. The image through the observer's eye got cut off. Did it get hit? The observer's eye was an extremely convenient tool, but its combat capabilities were pitifully lacking. It wouldn't survive an assault against even the average stray cat. This was why they were veiled by an invisibility spell. Though it wasn't uncommon for a stray rock or bird to bump into them and put them out of commission. Krill placed all of his hopes on this being the case. He had to hope that the eye was just down and that Hyung Suk was still alive within the group. The simplest way to confirm this was with another mage. They could ask their own pre-selected charges and easily verify his suspicions. However, these grounds weren't so amiable. There were 48 mages residing within the Northern Observatory of the Blanche Plaza, and only 25 among them were in charge of the pre-selected. Not a single one of them was on good terms with Krill. It was because taking care of the pre-selected was among the best possible jobs to hold as a low-ranking mage. Competition for the position was why no one was willing to help one another. Instead of helping, they would more likely search for any mistakes to report to the supervisors to eliminate a competitor. It might have been a bleak hope, but there was one person that might be willing to help him.
What? You want to borrow my observer's eye?
Dolores Winterer. She was the observatory's only mid-grade mage. She was a senior from the same magic school and a member of the same faction. Normally, he would never dare talk to her, but now she was his only hope.
Yes, I'm begging you!
Krill poured out all of his sincerity and bowed at the waist. Both his eyes were clenched shut in desperation as he waited for her reply, but all he could hear was a snicker. Not good. It was enough to completely shatter all hopes he had of salvaging the situation.
You expect me to treat someone that can't even keep track of his own observer's eye like my underclassman? No, I refuse. Get out of my sight. You disgust me. I'm sorry. I won't report you to the higher-ups. You won't last another day before they find out anyway.
After looking at him with disgust clear in her eyes, Dolores left the observatory with proud strides. He could hear her chilling words from down the hall.
Fucking idiot.
His body trembled, and cold sweat trickled down in beads. Humiliation and anger suppressed all the air in his lungs.
Shit! Damn bitch!
He wanted to tear her apart, but he lacked the strength. He didn't even have the power to fix his own pitiful fate. He couldn't do anything but fall to the floor and cry silently. He cried there until a middle-aged mage found him.
Hmm?
Their eyes met. Krill didn't know his name, but he knew of the man's identity. A slave hunter. They were tasked with poaching any talented recruits among the newly summoned batches. Krill couldn't be proud of his own position, but it was still several times better than a slave hunter's. It was a heartless job, meant for heartless people. Now a slave hunter was looking at Krill with great interest.
Why is such a young man crying so pitifully? Did you miss out on some meals?
Krill would never associate with such a character. The man might be older, but these fallen mages had already had their names removed from the Mage Guild's ledger. There was no reason to treat them as fellow mages. However, things were different at the moment.
Did you lose your pet rabbit?
The middle-aged man smiled widely and took a step towards Krill.
I do not wish to talk to you, sir.
The middle-aged mage feigned surprise but kept smiling mockingly.
Looking at you, you've definitely lost your pet rabbit.
Krill didn't bother hiding his irritation and stood up to walk away. The man's final words clung onto Krill's back.
Such a shame. I might not be completely out of ideas on how to help.
It was enough bait to successfully hook Krill. He reluctantly turned around and approached the man. His eyes were still bloodshot from his crying.
You remind me a lot of myself.
The man stretched out his left arm as he spoke. His arm began revealing itself from the long sleeve of the robe. Amputee. His left arm had been completely removed down from the elbow.
Thankfully, Typhoon is a generous guild. They were satisfied with taking just one arm. If it was anyone else, they might have decided to take my tongue or neck instead.
He spoke lightly, but his tone was vindictive. Krill shook slightly.
So, you too?
Yep. I was also a candidate sitter. No luck, though. Who knew he'd get stabbed by an ally before the rank match?
The slave hunter's confession adequately softened Krill's guarded heart. As his natural guard fell, Krill voluntarily clung to the slave hunter, as he really didn't have anywhere else to turn to.
Before, I apologize, but please help me. I'm running out of time.
The slave hunter closed his eyes as if sympathizing with Krill, then handed him a single key.
You know about the tunnel for the slaves on the lower floor, right? There will be things that are unsettling. Just shut your eyes and keep on going. It'll lead you to the summoning plaza.
You mean go out personally?
That will be the most reliable way. No one's letting you borrow one anyways, right? An observer's eye?
The middle-aged mage's words were simply this. There were no other options. Krill held onto the key while deep in thought, but eventually hurried away after a quick nod.
It can't be helped. Since it has come to this point, I might as well check on Hyun-suk's condition personally.
Everything would return to normal if Hyun-suk was alive. It would take a considerable sum to summon another observer's eye that was enchanted with invisibility, but what did money matter at this point? Krill made his way to the slave entrance at an impatient pace.
Ugh!
It was an awful stench. The combined odor of human feces, rotting flesh, and sewage was enough to make one dizzy. He could see the slaves chained to the sides of the tunnel, and the brutal slave hunters who were breaking the slaves' wills through the use of a special incense. All of this was accompanied by pitiful screams echoing throughout the length of the tunnel. He could hear the sizzling sound of burning flesh.
Look at the bastard struggling. He'll be a good product.
The sharp eyes glowing from the burning embers turned to focus on the uninvited guest.
A little chick mage came here for some playtime. You can already see the slaves here, so take a pick.
Krill gritted his teeth and picked up his pace. It chilled his heart upon hearing another pitiful scream intermingled with the sound of burning flesh. Fucking trash. He saw a pile of corpses further down and a pair of red eyes that flashed within the pile.
Human! Do you have any candy, yayo? If you have any candy, hand it over immediately, yayo.
It was a group of homunculi. However, these homunculi were much more disfigured than the average ones. They all wore ripped clothes and a broken expression. Some were even lacking a limb or two. These were the outcasts.
Human, why are you ignoring us?
A homunculus missing an eye and a leg grabbed onto Krill's pants after crawling over to him with its arms.
Give us your candy, yayo!
Krill's face crumpled. He simply crushed the homunculus's head with his heel.
Tia!
He was classified as a mage trainee, but he was still someone that had survived all of the Summoning Palace's trials. Someone like a homunculus was no match for him anymore.
Shoo, filthy things!
The homunculi scattered like roaches into the corpses. Krill finally managed to find the rusty gate after crossing through the tunnel of corpses. He stared at the key in his hand and gritted his teeth as he looked at the gate.
I'll definitely find you, for sure.
The cave no longer emitted any magic after the trials ended. Sung Churl stored Falgaraz and the Tome of the Echo Mage into his soul storage and looked over his other rewards. 30 palace tokens and the magic staff Moonlight. Palace tokens could be hidden inside his pocket, but the staff was much more conspicuous. He continued to stare at Moonlight until its stats displayed themselves. Moonlight. Grade. Rare. Low grade. Type, magic staff, rechargeable. Effect, fires an energy bolt after activation. Charge, 100%. Note, a staff crafted from the bark of a cypress tree bathed in moonlight. It is packed with magic power, but the staff itself is quite fragile. Use with caution. Its capabilities weren't anything worthwhile, and physically it was just a wooden stick. He would normally have tossed it without a second thought, but it was significant to earn items before the first rank match.
What should I do? Should I keep it or just store it?
He contemplated for quite a while, but decided to just hold on to it for now. Moonlight was a rather high caliber weapon for this stage of the trials, and it would also allow an alternate method for him to progress without having to rely solely on his actual strength. It was not like anyone would question him. But it also wouldn't be too hard to make up a lie about how he had gotten this weapon. Sung Churl grabbed Moonlight and walked away from the cave.
Anyhow, I need 19 more intuition. I should just barely be able to obtain enough palace tokens as well. Palace tokens have to be earned by standing out, but that's not something I want to do.
He had wanted to leave the group of the pre-selected when he had earned the 10 intuition. Now, if he wanted to become an Echo Mage, he would need to meet the additional requirements by tracking down some more hidden quests.
Can't be helped. I'll just have to fit in for a little bit longer.
Aram's life was extended without his knowing. As Sung Churl stepped back inside, a loud noise followed by shrieks reverberated within the plaza. The homunculi were at the center of the chaos.
Now, now! This is a special ration provided for the rank match tomorrow. Humans, Eat plenty and bring out your strength, Yayo.
The homunculi were distributing hard bread with mystery meat inside from a large cart pulled by 8 goats. The starving people flew into a frenzy at the first sight of food after several days. 1,500 people swarmed the cart like bees and began fighting for any reason whatsoever. In the worst cases, they fought with their weapons and even killed each other for the food. Sung Churl ignored the chaos and focused on what the homunculus had said.
Rank matches are tomorrow? Did it get pulled forward?
Rank matches were the most important events in the summoning palace. There were 4 plazas, Blanche, Azure, Crimson, and Scarlet. Within the summoning palace, they would hold a death match with special conditions between the plazas. These matches were the rank matches. In Sung Churl's time, these rank matches would kill off at least 100 people each time. Sometimes, it would cut down a group by half its number. These rank matches also provided plentiful rewards for the survivors. The summoning palace's original objective was to prepare the summoned to integrate with Otherworld by subjecting them to hellish conditions. It felt like the objective had changed now. The privileged few, the pre-selected, were an indisputable proof of this.
Now watch that. Isn't it fucking funny? They're crawling like dogs just to eat some rotten bread. What else are they going to do? They haven't eaten anything else.
While the average summoned were fighting for food with their lives, the pre-selected were busy mocking them while sitting underneath the shade of the training center. Some silently continued training, but others were embracing their first form of entertainment in a while. Sung Churl quietly claimed a corner of the center and fell deep into meditation. One of the common quests required him to meditate at a set time for 2 intuition. When the meditation ended, he circled the plaza looking for inscriptions that were hidden along the walls to read aloud. It wasn't well known, but the summoning palace's inscriptions changed daily. Even the former, "Death shall set you free," was now, "Life might be painful, but there might also be value." He had continuously worked on common quests so he could gain intuition, but now he also needed magic power. The targeted hidden class, Echo Mage, required intuition and magic power of 20 to unlock it. Sung Churl scoured through the list obtained from the homunculus and memorized each relevant quest, especially the long-term quests or the repetitive quests which needed to be completed first. Sung Churl efficiently utilized each moment of his day so he could continuously progress through these quests. He didn't slack off on observing the others in his group, especially Aram. It was thanks to him that Sung Churl was able to come across Vestiare's cave, and a similar opportunity might arise again. Since Vestiare's memorial had been completed, Aram's guiding mage ought to be busy preparing a new growth opportunity for him. They couldn't guarantee his survival in the trials otherwise. No matter how superior the people in this group were, this place was like the jungle. There would be plenty of geniuses among the crowd who were lying in wait. Careless people were constantly losing their lives around these parts. Sung Churl got up as he noticed the sunset.
Let's slowly begin our meals. Yuhun, who had been sweating by the spinning blade dummy, finally called the group together.
The few who had grown tired of the endless fights followed along without a fuss. Sung Churl woke up from his meditation and followed after him. As he was brushing off the dirt, a man approached him.
Mister?
It was the man who resembled a catfish, the one who had shown animosity towards Yuhun on the first day. He was ostracized by the group along with Sung Churl. He didn't outright refuse socializing with them as Sung Churl did, but his outward appearance and brash attitude had caused the others to avoid him. He felt a strong sense of rivalry with Yuhun, but had low ability and talent. So Sung Churl saw him as a man with an inferiority complex.
If you wouldn't mind, would you like to eat together?
He forced the words out with much difficulty. He had a tough exterior, but he was still human and must have started feeling lonely after a while. Sung Churl returned a smile.
Let's do that then.
After the blood pudding incident, Yuhun had moved his usual eating spot from the forest to underneath the walls. It was more likely to be discovered by the others, but it was less dangerous. As usual, Sung Churl sat slightly apart from the group and chewed on his hard bread. The only difference now was that another person was sitting beside him. Yongjong had been preparing for a government position in the old world. He'd lived a short life of 25 years, but with an empty smile, he spoke bitterly about how nothing had worked out as he'd planned.
The competition was so fierce. It wasn't so easy to overcome half of the youth population in Korea, you know?
Is that so?
It had been a while since he heard any recent stories from the old world. He only managed to obtain his current appearance through several facial reconstructions and surgeries, but the time that had passed in this world hadn't been short.
That's so strange. I didn't think people would be so eager to become a government worker.
What crazy planet are you from?
It had been more than 25 years since he had been summoned to Otherworld. That was enough time to carve a river into a mountain. He recalled the times he used his bus tokens to get a ride to the roller disco so he could skate along with the disco music.
I wonder if those who have returned are doing well.
Some of the summoned had managed to amass great achievements, which gave them the right to return to the homeworld. They were called the Returnees. A few among Sung Chul's old companions had chosen to return back to the old world at the cost of the majority of their strength. Sung Chul had also wished to return, but he had cleanly given up on the idea. It was enough for him to listen to stories through others. Snapping away from his thoughts, he saw Aram chewing on bread away from the group. It didn't seem to have any special meaning. As he was about to turn back his gaze, he noticed a being he had never seen before. A man was standing at a distance. He was dressed in a conspicuous outfit and looking over in Sung Chul's direction. Unlike the modern clothes of the other summoned, he wore a mage's robe of this world.
A mage? It's interesting to see a human other than the summoned in the summoning palace.
Sung Chul's eyes sparkled with curiosity.
Not here. Not here. Yongsook, that piece of shit!
The mage in the distance was none other than Krill Regal. He had taken the slave tunnel leading to the plaza and took quite some time to find the group of pre-selected. He knew only one face from the group, but he couldn't find him. Hyun-suk, the Asian man with a detestable face.
Did he really die?
He felt terror crawl up his spine as he counted the people in the group. There were 23 of them sitting in the circle eating, two less than the amount chosen originally. It was possible that his charge was still alive and well within the plaza, but it seemed more likely that he was already dead.
Shit! What happened? How did this happen?
He suddenly noticed one detail. Among the 23 pre-selected, there was one person without an observer's eye. He had a slim build with average height, a man wearing military fatigues and old jeans. He confirmed again with his glasses of truth, but the man truly didn't have the observer's eye around him.
Could it be? Did this guy do something?
Krill's eyes emitted a cold, murderous intent. He carefully walked towards the group. It was then that the man in the military fatigues began heading towards the forest on his own.
A chance.
Krill felt a twinge of excitement at the tip of his tongue as he followed the man into the forest.
I don't know what your plans are, but I'm planning on making you sing.
He had a squeamish personality and didn't enjoy doing anything violent, but there was no time for him to be picky. He had to get through this disaster at any cost. He kept reassuring himself with these words as he pulled out a magic staff and followed after the man.
Looking for me?
An unexpected voice came from an unexpected direction.
What is this guy?
He was grabbed from behind. However, this was only a newly summoned. He should be able to handle him even without using any of his magic, solely through the physical strength he obtained from completing quests during his time in the summoning palace. He tried to counter the assault while keeping this in mind.
Wham!
His vision turned yellow in one blow.
Ugh!
When he came to, the man was pressing on Krill's chest firmly with his foot. Krill tried to move, but it felt like he was nailed to the ground. He finally realized the man in the military fatigues was no normal person.
Hey, mage, why are you looking for me?
The man, Sung Chul, asked coldly.
That is...
Are you looking for your charge?
Krill was ambushed verbally, and his weak spot was immediately exposed.
How is that kid?
Krill asked desperately. It was all but an impossible dream, but he still hoped against hope. Sung Cho's reply, however, couldn't be blunter. He died.
Oh!
Krill's shoulders finally lost all strength. The word despair flooded his mind. All hope crumbled away, and the image of the slave hunter who had helped him appeared in his head. What he had thought was crude and disgusting at first was now a vision of his future. It was at this moment that another glimmer of hope appeared. Looking for a hole to hide? It was Sung Cho. He removed his foot from Krill's chest and spoke quietly. Help me, and I'll give you a way out of this. Clack! Something shiny fell near Krill's face. It was a blue emerald. Money makes anything possible. This was true for both the old world and this one. Two of the pre-selected belonging to the Order of the Iron Blood Knights were dead, but only one death had been reported. The other mage, who had lost his pre-selected, was dragged off by the Iron Blood Knights and never seen again. In Krill's short lifetime, there had never been a moment that had caused him to shudder more. He was now standing at attention in the office and in front of a high-ranked and armored Iron Blood Knight.
You are wise, my friend. You said you were Krill Regal?
The high-ranking Iron Blood Knight brought up the thick emerald to his eyes and carefully examined it through one eye. He had had many accomplishments, as the scars on his face gave witness. This man was the captain of the 3rd Assault Regiment, Sangil Ma. In this mass summoning, he was the one in charge of nurturing the pre-selected.
I wouldn't have let you off easily if you tried to bribe me with pocket change. You might have even suffered a worse fate than the other idiot who got dragged away earlier. In a place called Korea, insolence is a grave crime, said Sangil with a bone-chilling smile.
I wouldn't dare.
I know that. That's why I've called you over.
The captain placed the emerald deep into his pocket and said in a low tone,
For now, return to the observation tower.
What? You said, return?
His pre-selected was dead. What was there to be done, even if Krill returned to the tower? Sangil trimmed his fingernails with a nail clipper as he spoke in an annoyed voice.
I thought you had a good head on your shoulders, but maybe I was wrong. Hyung-suk is alive.
When he heard this, Krill sensed a chill running all over his body.
It's exactly like that guy had said.
The man who hadn't revealed his name had told Krill with a cold voice, at the very least they will leave you alive for the moment. But remember, they will never let you go, nor will they forgive you. The current situation was flowing exactly as the unknown man had predicted. Sangil sent Krill back to the observation tower to wait on standby. In the birdcage, there was a small sky squirrel with white striped fur moving about busily. Krill tied a letter the size of a sesame seed to the leg of the sky squirrel, then whispered as he opened the back window.
Please deliver this to that person.
Kew, kew!
The unusually intelligent sky squirrel nodded and then let its small body fly out through the open window.
Kew, kew!
Sung Cho Kim untied the paper on the squirrel's leg and confirmed the contents within. Tomorrow's rank matches will go by Alamo rule. You will go up against zombies. The reward cutoffs are at 1, 3, 10, 30 zombies. The bonus monsters will be wearing red hats. Sung Cho memorized the contents in his head and rubbed the paper between his fingers. The paper became dust and scattered in the wind.
You did well.
He took out a piece of bread from his pocket and offered it to the sky squirrel. The sky squirrel nibbled on the bread, then stared at Sung Cho with some interest before disappearing into the darkness.
He's intelligent,
thought Sung Cho as he recounted the information Krill Regal had provided him.
Zombies will be coming out with Alamo rule. That's not a bad start.
Rank matches had many methods. There could be death matches amongst the summoned of each plaza, or fights arranged between elites representing each plaza, or even a Pac-Man game where you had to avoid the monsters, and many other odd rules with names of unclear origins. The Alamo rule, which would begin soon, was one in which the summoned would work together to defend against numerous demonic creatures. Although the demonic creatures were easy enough for newbies to overcome individually, there would be a great number of them. As the defenders, it would feel like they were fighting against endless waves of monsters. However, this was also an opportunity. Even though these were weak monsters, as long as you could take care of them, you would be rewarded. Krill Regal had mentioned cutoffs for the rewards, which changed at thresholds of 1, 3, 10, and 30 kills. In other words, it meant the finest rewards could be had from hunting over 30 of them. Of course, top 3 were granted additional bonus rewards, but Song Chul had no intention of being in the top 3. He would do just enough work to get maximum standard rewards. That was Sung Chul's goal. And most importantly, he was interested in the bonus monster that would appear. The zombies with the red hats. These bonus monsters were slightly stronger than the normal ones, but defeating them yielded great rewards. Sung Chul wasn't certain about exactly what the rewards would be, but based on his past experience, it definitely included palace tokens. This information was valuable to Sung Chul, who was in dire need of 19 additional palace tokens. On the dawn of the second day, Sung Chul opened his eyes to a familiar demonic energy. The necromancers had arrived at the summoning palace and were chanting an incantation to raise the dead. In the morgue below the summoning palace, the dead were coming to life. These were the victims from the first day of the mass summoning. Thousands of these corpses followed the necromancer's orders to move through the underground tunnels and stand just outside Blanche Plaza's entrance, which was connected to the palace. Most of the summoned couldn't imagine such a scene, but the pre-selected were told ahead of time of what was happening.
Kim Young, did you hear that voice?
Young Jung acted rather friendly.
You mean the part where rank matches will start today?
Yup. According to their guides, they were told to fight at the front instead of heading towards the back lines.
Is that so?
They said to get at least 30. God damn it. I'm a bit nervous.
Getting 30 kills was the minimum requirement to get the best rewards. Krill Regal's information seemed reliable. A little after sunrise, the homunculi, including the drill sergeant, appeared at the Blanche Plaza.
Now, humans, rise and shine, yayo! The most important event, the rank matches, starts now, yayo!
The people who were hungry and thirsty all stared at the homunculi with vacant eyes. The drill sergeant showed off its razor teeth as it smiled and started speaking in its particularly annoying voice.
All of your friends who had come with you will be here soon, yayo! It's simple, yayo! Just play with your old friends for 1 hour, yayo. And remember, if you kill your friends, you can get water and rations. The rewards will grow the more you kill, yayo.
After the homunculi disappeared, a low trumpet sound was heard over the palace walls. The gargantuan walls that were always closed were now slowly being opened wide. Each member of the crowd had a blade in hand and was watching nervously to see what lay beyond. Outside the palace doors were humans. Humans who were staggering and walking strangely. While the crowd was bustling, Sung Chul read the message that appeared in front of his eyes. First round of the rank matches begins now. Rule, Alamo. Featured monster, zombies. Raise your sword and fight. Cut down your enemies. Here, your value will be measured only in what you prove through your own actions.
A sword.
Sung Chul smirked as he grasped the staff in his hand, Moonlight, one of Vestiare's gifts. Today, Sung Chul had thought of using Moonlight instead of a sword for the audience at the observation tower. The ruling class of Otherworld often gathered in the observation towers on rank match days and gambled great sums of money on which plaza would win. Among those gathered in the plazas, there were some who were able to wield a sword well in their own right, as well as those who were natural-born fighters. Using Moonlight would help him stand out, but the bastards up in the tower would lose interest quickly. What they wanted to see was not some wimp who relied on items, but diamonds in the rough who showed a genuine talent for fighting. The strong, hidden among the crowd, would awaken to their true nature on the battlefield today and would henceforth push themselves during the remaining trials to grow ever stronger.
Kim Young, let's try our best.
The pre-selected were all on the front lines, as if by a previous arrangement. Sung Chul found Aram among them. He was also on the front lines, but he was not holding onto a sword. He held a staff instead. It looked a little different from Sung Chul's, but it appeared to be a mage staff charged with magic power.
Did they have to babysit him with that staff because he refused to train properly?
Sung Chul had destroyed Vestiari's fragment, so the mage in charge of Aram didn't really have much of a choice. Even though it was conspicuous, in order to raise Aram's capability immediately, he had to be given an item that could be used instantly to boost his power. To Sung Chul, this was good news. It meant that he did not need to be careful about holding back with moonlight. Rank match begins now. Restrictions have been removed. Warning, you could die. As the message disappeared, the zombies outside the palace door pushed forward into the plaza with a singular purpose. Most of the summoned stepped back in fear at the sight of the zombies pouring in.
Oh, please let me live!
What the fuck is this bullshit?
There were some who edged back from the fight.
All right, everyone, let's go!
Some of the summoned who had the will to fight got into a formation and faced off against the zombies. Sung Chul noticed that the man who was leading them was the middle-aged office worker from the first day, who had recruited a party despite being told off numerous times. The man lacked strength, but fought on desperately and engaged in a hit-and-run battle tactic. On the other hand, there were those who firmly held their ground and fought head-on. It was uncertain if they were also one of the pre-selected, but they had courage on par with the pre-selected and good instincts for battle. They were the type that got the feel of it with each zombie kill and quickly grew stronger. These were probably the types that the ones at the observation tower watched with the most interest. Of course, the pre-selected behind them were not just idling either.
Now, everyone, let's go!
The pre-selected, including Yohun, entered the fray as well.
Slash!
Zombies were cut down easily. This was inevitable. The zombies' power was on par with the average summoned's power on their first day in the world. In the past week, the pre-selected had been bestowed blessings, given enchanted weapons, and undergone training. To them, the zombies were nothing more than smelly lumps of meat.
Whoa, I got one of these!
Among the pre-selected, Yongjong was rather cowardly, but even he was able to cut down a zombie easily. Some of the women stubbornly refused to go out and fight, but the pre-selected were already doing their part. Meanwhile, Aram Park was standing with the women in the rear until he decided it was time. From his staff, two spirit wolves emerged and leaped at the zombies, whipping up a bloody storm.
Excellent! You're doing great!
Said Aram, as his raucous laughter reverberated over the battlefield. Sung Chul waited until there was a lull in the battle before he began using his staff. He aimed his staff at the zombies and poured his strength into it. Energy bolts shot out of the end of the staff and pierced through the bodies of the zombies.
Whoa, Kim Hyung, what was that?
Yung Jong asked in surprise. Sung Chul Kim replied nonchalantly.
This? I picked it up in the forest.
As he said this, Sung Chul made a quick work of the zombies. 10, 20, 29. With one more left, Sung Chul scanned the masses of zombies rushing in. Finally, he found the bastard he was searching for, the zombie wearing a red hat. Sung Chul headed towards the bonus monster. However, two spirit wolves passed by him and rushed at the red hat zombie first. He could hear a giddy laughter coming from behind him.
That one's mine! Nobody shall touch it!
It was Aram. Anger erupted from Sung Chul's eyes.
That son of a bitch is asking for a beating.
Sung Chul held himself back in the hopes that the kid would still have some uses in the future. He grabbed the head of a zombie off the floor and threw it backwards. The zombie head flew like an arrow straight towards Aram.
Ack!
Aram cried out and crumpled to the floor. He had dropped his precious staff before he fell unconscious. As soon as he let go of the staff, his connection to the spirit wolves was severed. Sung Chul now had the opportunity to take the red hat zombie for himself. As he was aiming his staff, he noticed a woman who ran like a cheetah towards the red hat zombie. On the outside, she looked like an ordinary summoned. However, the vigor and skill with which she ran, the energy in her focused gaze, was unusual. If he wasn't careful, he could lose the red hat to her. Songjo poured his Herculean strength through his body, and in a flash, he was standing between the mysterious woman and the red hat zombie. Stab! Songjo's sword pierced through the heart of the zombie, and their gazes met. Her eyes were filled with astonishment, but her unwavering gaze was abnormal, even by his battle-hardened standards. However, the message which popped up concealed her from his eyes. You have eliminated the bonus monster. Rewards. 1. Palace token times 3. 2. Light shield of vitality. Common.
Chapter 5. Alchemist. The first rank match drew to a close. There were countless zombies and human corpses strewn about on the floor. This had been relatively easy compared to some other trials, but there were still more than a few casualties. Their numbers had been cut down to below 1,000. Most of the injuries had come from the latter half of the fight, when the zombies had managed to push past the forward group with their sheer numbers and lay waste to those hiding in the rear. However, the overall strength of the summoned had also grown. Those that had contributed in killing the zombies were granted bonus stats and rewards. The first rank match has ended. Blanche Plaza has slaughtered 852 creatures. Fourth place of the four colored plazas. Overall rewards will be based on plaza ranking. The administration of the summoning palace will judge the rewards. An unexpected turn of events had occurred. No, it would be more accurate to say that he had a brief lapse of memory. Even 25 years ago, the rewards had been handed out based on a plaza's overall merit. He reflected on the reason he could have forgotten such a crucial detail and came up with an answer. Blanche Plaza was always number one. We didn't let go of that position even once. It was unimaginable to think that the other plazas could beat ours. That must have been why I had chosen this plaza without a second thought. 25 years ago, many famous figures appeared from the Blanche Plaza. The ones with great charisma who had held the people together. The smart ones who had cleverly formulated how to overcome each trial. And then the silent ones who resolutely held the front. Songjo was of the third category. He had always stood at the front lines to protect the others and grew stronger unintentionally. Faded faces flashed through his mind. Some were still alive, while the others were dead. The survivors had become major players, each of whom by now had a great deal of influence in their own area. His reverie was interrupted by a new message. The division of rewards for each plaza is complete. Congratulations, you have completed the first rank match. You have qualified for grade A reward. Basic rewards, 2x palace token, 1x fresh meat, 5x apple, 1x week supply of rations. Selection rewards. 1. Divine elixir of escape. 2. Explosion scroll. 3. Windmaster's blade. Please choose. The basic rewards were as bare as he'd expected. However, the selection rewards drew Sungchul's attention. They were quite balanced in value. Divine elixirs of escape and explosion scrolls were consumed upon use, but in turn were very powerful. The elixir guaranteed someone's survival during Pac-Man rules, and explosion scrolls were powerful during Alamo rules or deathmatch rules. The blade was also useful for people who had confidence in their own abilities. It raised their dexterity and added a critical strike effect. It would be a relevant weapon for a beginner until they graduated the palace. 25 years ago, Songchul had chosen the Windmaster's blade. However, this time, Songchul decided on the explosion scroll. The sword was useless to Songchul, and the explosion scroll had more utility to it than the divine elixir of escape. The elixir was only effective against demonic creatures, but the explosion scroll could also be used on humans. It would be difficult, but the explosion scroll could be used to seriously wound the predators during Pac-Man rules. Songcho looked through the small package of rewards, palace tokens, food, and explosion scroll. He packed up his rewards and returned to the training center. As expected, the pre-selected were fine, and some had even managed to get into the rankings.
Tixu, that's awesome! You're third place! You got the highest score among us!
The ranking results could be seen from numerous stone of records scattered around the palace. Sung Cho looked at the record out of curiosity. 1. Amuge, 142. 2. Chongshik Chung, 100. Teksu Kim, 85. 6. Yuhun Lee, 64. 21. Yangjung Ha, 44. 22. Songchul Kim, 35. 23. Autumn Park, 29.
Songchul allowed himself a grin. Amuge and Chungshuk Chung. I never heard of them.
Songchul recalled the face of the woman he had seen during the battle. They had competed over the bonus monster, and she had been quite skilled. It might be that her name was amongst the two listed there.
Songchul continued down the list until another name caught his eyes. Autumn Park. Only 29.
The zombie he had thrown during combat had hit Autumn on the head, and although it was unintentional, Autumn had fallen unconscious and had his spirit wolf summoning staff stolen. Songchul could see Autumn's despondent face in the corner of the training center. He continued to skillfully operate the record stone.
Would you like to see previous records?
Songchul visualized yes in his mind, and the messages in front of him changed. Historical ranking. 1. William Quinton Marlborough, 301. 2. Shamal Rajput, 275. 3. Songchul Kim, 256.
Looking at the records, he couldn't help but scratch his head. William? Shamal? Such nostalgic names. Even my name is in the records. I wonder what happened. Isn't it much easier now to set higher records than before?
There weren't any privileged people in the past. Everybody had to face the oncoming demonic creatures. He had expected much better scores to arise compared to the past, but reality didn't reflect his expectations. Either the pre-selected had little motivation to try very hard when they were this spoiled by their backers, or perhaps the current generations of summoned might just have fallen in quality.
Songchul felt satisfied with what he saw as he returned to the training center. Several pre-selected were admiring the rewards. However, there were dark faces among them. The pre-selected who received no reward, despite having been given privileges and advantages, could do nothing but hang their head as their comrades celebrated.
Kim Hyung, come here!
Young Jung shouted tactlessly from across the group and walked up to Songchul. He held a transparent glass bottle containing a liquid in his right hand. It was the divine elixir of escape.
Kim Hyung has one too, right?
Songchul shook his head.
No.
What? Why?
What do you mean, why?
I saw that Kim Hyung also killed over 30 of them. What did you pick? Did you ignore your guide and pick something else?
Songchul simply nodded, and Young Jung jumped up in shock.
Dang! You've got guts! Mine said you could die in the next rank match without one. That Pac-Man or something game.
Don't worry about me.
After listening to Young Jung, Songchul glanced at the others in the group and saw that they were likely told the same thing. Their guides had probably urged them to get the item that guaranteed their survival in the Pac-Man round. This must be why those without the rewards looked so grim.
Shit!
Even Aram, who was usually full of energy, also sat in a corner and picked at his nails. He had even lost his staff, which was his failsafe. There were others who were also marked for death among his group. Songchul recognized one of them. It was the girl wearing all brand-name clothes who had been friendly with the man who was executed by the homunculi on the first day. Songhae Pei. She didn't manage to kill a single zombie. It wasn't because her strength was lacking. Her weapon was better than the average pre-selected. Her score was 0 because she couldn't muster the courage to strike down her foes. It could have been out of disgust or might have been out of fear. No matter the reason, the result was that she now had to worry about her immediate future. Songchul had felt her gaze on him for a while now. She kept peeking over at him every now and then. She couldn't approach him because Young Jung was making such a large ruckus next to him. Previously, she had looked down on both of them. The reason was that ugly, unsociable, shy men were the perfect target for mockery. Things were different now.
Although her glamorous persona and her status as the daughter of a wealthy family in the old world had given her a golden ticket, none of it held any value due to the failing score she had earned in this match. Even the friends that had socialized with her during meals now completely ostracized her. Shortly after, Songhe finally approached Songchul.
Now, humans! You might catch some nasty disease from the zombies and corpses lying around, Yayo! Let's work to move them! Quick, Yayo!
The homunculi brought over a goat-driven cart in order to load the corpses. Songchul joined in the cleanup and began tossing the bodies into the cart one at a time.
Excuse me.
He could hear a hesitant, yet familiar voice from behind him. Songchul turned around and faced Songhe. He wasn't confrontational, but neither did he show any warmth. Songhe felt tense, receiving this sort of indifference.
Why do I have to beg to him?
However, this was a matter of life and death. Songhe channeled all of her strength into forming something similar to a smile on her face as she said,
Hello.
What do you want?
There wasn't even a second to waste on such a woman. Songchul replied very curtly. Songhe already felt quite frustrated, and now she could only crawl even lower. She avoided Songchul's chilling stare and spat out her rehearsed speech.
I really am sorry for the first day. It was all because I was so shocked and scared. I must not have been myself.
And you are here because...
Songchul quickly cut her off. Songhe had always felt that in all her years of popularity, she knew better than most how animals called males worked. That is why she understood that this man did not care to entertain her for even one bit. This conversation had been impossible from the start. Songhe could feel a cold sweat trickling down her back.
If that's all then...
Songchul turned around and began walking towards another pile of corpses. She quickly blocked his path and spoke in a mocking tone.
You're also a man, right? A young one at that? How about having someone like me?
She had abandoned her pride and thrown herself at his feet. Songchul continued looking at her with cold eyes and spoke plainly.
What about you?
Stop pretending. I'll just say it straight, then. Help me.
What do you want?
Songhe looked over at the staff tied down to Songchul's back. The energy bolt-firing magical staff, Moonlight.
With this, she might be able to overcome her weak resolve and raise her score. This was why she had approached Songchul.
That staff. Let me use it and I'll do anything you ask.
As she finished, she unbuttoned the top of her shirt. Her cleavage peeked out tantalizingly from beneath her black brassiere.
You must be pent up after so long, right? I can do it right now if you want.
The people passing by looked at her with shock and disgust, but she had nowhere else to turn.
If I can just take his staff, it doesn't matter what anyone says.
However, Songchul didn't show any response. He looked at Songhe's cleavage with the same indifference as Warren Buffett would look at gold. Songhe suddenly started feeling nervous.
This bastard. Did he hang around that catfish guy because he's actually...
Miss,
Songchul finally spoke, and Songhe buttoned her top back up.
Yes.
He spoke indifferently while pointing at his lower half.
I commend your courage, but mine doesn't stand anymore.
He quickly turned and left. Songhe's mind was spinning in chaos.
Rejected by a bastard like that? That smelly, country, hick bastard?
She was unaware that she hadn't washed in a while either and now smelled just as bad, if not worse.
However, Songhe was a resilient woman.
She caught up to him again and blocked his path once more.
Move.
Songchul didn't have any compassion this time. Songhe's confidence couldn't help but collapse under his cold eyes, coupled with their murderous intent that made her break out in goosebumps. Tears started pouring out of her eyes and her voice tumbled out pitifully.
Please, please, that staff. Let me use it, please.
Songhe clung to him desperately.
What are you going to give me?
Songchul turned around. It wasn't out of some half-baked sympathy, but to check if there was anything worthwhile he could get out of this woman.
What do you want?
When she asked, he spoke in a different tone, pointing above his own head.
Ask him. Ask what he can offer me.
Mages didn't want their charges to die. It could be said that her guiding mage might be just as desperate as Songhe. Sung Cho recalled Krill's desperate face and laughed to himself.
Now this is the place. Keep your promise.
All things considered, Sung Hae was very quick to act. Within an hour since they had spoken, she had already come up with something new to offer to trade and reattempted the negotiation. And what she offered was what Sung Cho sought, a hidden quest. But once he learned more about it, he found it not all that attractive. Sung Hae had brought a class change quest, but the problem was that the class itself was not all that great. No, in fact, it was considered the worst class, the alchemist class, a class that was universally looked down upon. There was a good reason why the alchemist class was avoided like the plague. Mages only needed to raise their stats high enough to meet the prerequisite to learn Fireball from the Pyromancy School of Magic, then spend some of their mana to cast it. Alchemists also had access to something similar to Fireball called Magic Grenade from the Alchemy School of Magic. Like the mages, an alchemist had to raise their stats to meet the prerequisites and learn the skill for crafting the item. But it didn't end there. They then had to spend time gathering materials, prepare ingredients with specialized tools, and then mix the components to synthesize the item, and even then, there was a chance of failure. Most people preferred the simpler power-to-investment ratio of mage classes and simply ignored the alchemist class. People even mocked alchemists as masochists.
By following deep into this dried-out well, I was told that you could get the hidden class alchemist.
She emphasized the word hidden class, but Sung Cho knew better. As someone that had been through hell and back, he knew that alchemist was a trash class.
I refuse your offer.
Sung Cho didn't speak to Sung Hae, but rather to the mage backing her.
For what reason?
Sung Hae asked impatiently.
I don't like it. Something like alchemy? I'm confident in my ability to break things, but I hate putting things together. Bring me some other hidden quest, especially something that raises intuition, or I won't hand over the staff.
Wait, just wait a bit.
Sung Hae took a step back and turned around. She didn't speak for a while, so she must have been exchanging a blood-curdling conversation with the mage in the observation tower. After a long while, Sung Hae finally turned around, an awkward smile forming on her lips.
You said you wanted a quest that raises intuition, right?
Sung Cho nodded in response.
That's great, then. The hidden quest that I promised could raise your intuition by 15 when completed.
15?
It was an outrageous amount. The average stat gained from hidden quests, even from an objective, was below 10. This wasn't even an objective, and yet it raised a stat by 15? It was far outside of his expectations.
That is hard to believe.
It's the truth. Well, it is only when all the requirements are completely met, but...
Full completion?
Yes. My guide says it normally grants only around 3 to 4 or 5 in rare cases. But if you fulfill all conditions and trials, it is possible to get up to 15.
Is that true?
Sung Cho's eyes lit up brightly. Sung Hae's eyes trembled in response, though it didn't seem like it was from the fear of getting caught, but rather from fear of him.
Yes, you can trust me.
She bit her lips while nodding. Sung Cho handed her the magic staff Moonlight.
If you're lying, there will be consequences.
Do whatever you want.
Sung Hae's voice shook as she escaped from the scene as quickly as she could. Now left on his own, Sung Cho expressionlessly stared at the bottom of the dry well. Boom! There was a ladder leading to the floor of the well, but Sung Cho ignored it and simply leaped in. All the dust gathered on the floor made it difficult to see, but he was more interested in observing the faint magical energy that was surrounding the area. Wonder of the Generation, Memorial of the Eighth Hero, Eckert.
Eighth Hero? Eckert?
One of Sung Cho's brows shot up. He had heard of the Seven Heroes, but this was his first time hearing of an eighth one.
He had never heard of the name Eckert.
You have observed the Wonder of the Generation, the amazing test of the true hero, Eckert. Sung Cho rarely expressed his emotions. However, the series of messages mentioning this person left him baffled.
Who are you?
Suddenly, the entire well shook slightly. It felt like someone was striking a distant wall. The well's wall opened after a while. This hadn't been done by magic, but rather by some primitive device. To make matters worse, the door struggled to open, as though the machinery had rusted. Looking at this scene, Sungjo couldn't help but feel regret. This felt extremely cheap compared to Vestiare's dream. It might be better not to go through with this. The alchemist class was a problem in and of itself. He couldn't waste a precious subclass slot on a trash class, which would only hamper his future growth. He could erase a useless class later on at the Temple of Knowledge, but it was still a troublesome thing to have to do. Sungjo sighed in regret and turned around. However, a sudden message stopped him in his tracks. "Would you pass by the wonder of a lifetime like this?" Sungjo didn't miss a beat as he continued to walk out, after which another message appeared before him. "An amazing test of the eighth hero. Seven heroes is incorrect. Eckert, the wonder of the generation. One free intuition, just by trying. 15 max. Investigate ancient artifacts. Obtain a familiar after fulfilling special conditions. Opportunity to fulfill an objective. Try it now. All of this is free."
What is this?
He had completed several thousand quests and objectives, but this was the first test of its kind. He could feel the questmaker's desperation. How few challengers must there have been for it to have reached this point?
Did they refer to this message when they told me about the 15 intuition?
The mage guiding Songhe seemed to have arrived here at this point. There was no way to tell whether that person chose to be an alchemist or not. This was quite troubling. Sungjo was extremely weak to exaggerated advertisements. Not that he fell for its seduction, but he allowed himself to be tricked on purpose. It couldn't be helped if it turned out to be a bust, but there was still a great deal of satisfaction to be had when it turned out that the advertisement was telling the truth and gave great rewards. For someone like Sungjo, who led a very difficult life, it was one of the few hobbies he had. Sungjo tightened his grip and turned around once more. Rather than the one free intuition per attempt, the familiar and the opportunity to fulfill an objective tugged at his heartstrings. Whether this hidden quest contained an objective or was filled with ordinary common quests depended completely on the grade of the quest host who had created this hidden quest. Sungjo used both of his hands to grab the wall that was stuck partway open and tore it apart. A series of candles lit themselves as he walked deeper into the well. He walked for about a minute until he reached a dead end with a block protruding from the wall. There were two glass bottles upon an altar made of a pile of rocks. One was a red vial, the other a blue vial. "First test of the eighth hero, Eckert. Grab the vials." He followed the instructions. The blue vial was labeled Elixir of Frost, and the red vial was named Elixir of Fire. Once he had grabbed both of the vials in his hand, a completion message appeared. "You have grasped the wonder of the generation, Eckert's inheritance. You have experienced the oppressive knowledge within Eckert's inheritance. Reward, intuition plus one."
I haven't felt anything like that.
It was an annoyingly talkative quest, but at least it hadn't been lying about the rewards. Sungjo quickly confirmed the intuition had changed from one to two with his stat window. Another door suddenly shook awake, but as if there was a problem with its mechanism, it struggled to open once again. Sungjo forced his way through once more. Beyond the door was a spherical area with a human-sized stone doll in the center. It appeared to be a golem. Sungjo couldn't help but doubt himself. He had never seen a stone golem so small. Golems were typically large. Miniaturization of the internal components was difficult. Although their combat capabilities would be lacking, wooden marionettes were better suited for this size than stone golems.
Is that an actual golem?
He had only entered the dungeon half-heartedly, but he now felt a bit more excited. A series of messages popped up once more. "The magic golem created using the eighth hero's superior technology will be difficult for your current self to deal with. However, it is the duty of alchemists to make the impossible a reality. Use the two colored vials to block the magic golem's attack. This is the eighth hero, the wonder of the generation, Eckert's end of the tutorial test."
Rumble.
The magic golem's eyes flashed as it began to move. Its movements were slow and exaggerated, but it was definitely a golem. The magic golem turned itself in Sung Cho's direction, but then stopped. Sung Cho waited to see what it was doing when it started glowing bright red, heating up to an incredible temperature. Sung Cho grabbed one of the two bottles, which read Elixir of Frost.
I guess he wants me to use this one.
A chill, cold enough to freeze the air, poured out as he opened the bottle.